All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim's Late Night Open Mic. I don't have much of an audience, which was crazy because of my computer messed up, and there was no way for me to do anything. I had the biggest pack house I think I've ever had. So, we're gonna just do what we do. I've got a lot to talk about, and by the way, the game I'm playing is Coromon, which is, like, a Pokemon contender. There's also Nexomon, but Nexomon is not available on GOG yet, maybe later. But these games are available on everything, including, like, the Switch and all that. And they've got really good scores, like 9s out of 10s. So definitely check them out. And this is more customizable Pokemon. You can customize your character. The character looks a lot like me. Yeah, that's like literally my hair right now, almost. And those are my glasses, and yeah. But, anyway, yeah, it's fully customizable, even to the point that you can make it easy mode, where you can, like, make easy trainer battles, and easy, run into Pokemon easy, or whatever, Coromon easy, whatever you want to call them. But other than that, it looks pretty fun. Anyway, yeah, game's DRM-free on GOG now. It's from Freedom Games, which is a pretty awesome developer. I checked them out. I noticed that they had a pretty much all-dude team. I'm like, oh, wow, hey, this might actually be worth a damn as far as the company goes. And they've also got Dreamscaper, which I got. And that game is fucking cool. I don't really like roguelikes, but I like that game. Because there's just something really different about it compared to a lot of others. And they said if you miss Hades, you'll like that. I've never played Hades, but if that's similar to Hades, then Hades is probably pretty fun. Okay. Apparently, Grimm was adopted. But, alright. Let's go ahead and get started. So, the topic. We've got to talk about Yi. Yes, the one everybody's been talking about. And let me tell you something about Kanye. I've been following this guy for a long time. Reason why is because not only did I think he was a fascinating dude as far as the, you know, the Elon Musk team up and all the other stuff, but this guy has a history with MKUltra and Monarch that spans quite a number of years. I still frequent the Vigilant Citizen, and by the way, they now paygate their fucking site, so you pretty much have to pay to read anything, or a $10 a month membership, I think. It's either $10 a year or $10, something like that. But anyway, most of the stuff is on archive, and really awesome that somebody did that, because I'm like, okay, dude, so you wanted to share the information because you thought it was cool about getting the knowledge out, but now that the knowledge is out, you're like, okay, now I'm going to charge people to view my website. I'm like, okay, so dude became kind of a dick over the years, I guess. Anyway, his research and the articles that he's written are still pretty damn good. He's been following Yi for a while. Obviously, Kanye's mother was sacrificed. Donda was sacrificed. There's no fucking doubt about it. He talked about it in a video, and one thing that you guys need to really take in mind here, and we're even going back to the outburst on TMZ, because I remember that. Kanye is letting you know that they've been trying to put him on all these medications, all these other stuff, and they've had him in these facilities, which they are what a lot of people believe are MK brainwash facilities. Like, basically, the way MK Ultra works, or Modern Monarch works, is they basically get you at a young age, and they put you in this, you know, this series of rituals, and I'm not saying like occult rituals, I'm saying like psychological rituals to change the way your brain thinks. There's actually some books on it. What was that guy's name? I can't remember the name, but there's like the MK Ultra Guide to a Mind Controlled Slave, something like that. But anyway, there's a lot of different little methods that they use, and they're pretty hardcore. You can read about them in that book. And a lot of that material is available online, so just, you know, check that out. I'm not going to go through all of that. But obviously, one of the parts of it is to sacrifice in order to gain power. So, one thing they wanted to do was sacrifice his mother, because that was the tie to his life. Like, if there was a documentary called Gia or something like that. He always has really weird names for his stuff, but Gia or whatever. And basically in that one, it was all about his mother and how much his mother was a big influence on his life, and how his mother, you know, more or less was his world. And when she died in surgery, which is the most bizarre fucking thing ever. That's like the weirdest way for somebody to die in Hollywood, especially with so many surgeries that go on. It's like, really? A surgery? it's pretty crazy. And I think it was a cosmetic surgery, which is the most bizarre thing. I don't think it was like, you know, she had a health problem surgery. I think it was a cosmetic surgery that she died from. And I'm like, wow, that's really fucking sus. So, anyway, Kanye was taking it pretty damn hard. And it seems like at first he was trying to, you know, give himself to the Lord and kind of turn away from a lot of the evil in the industry. Like, he knew the industry was bad. He knew there was a lot of shit going on in the industry that just wasn't good. He's seen it. I'm sure Kim is all wrapped up in that shit, and that's one reason that he didn't want to be involved. And of course, a lot of the people that he worked with on his records, they also... Hold on. I don't think you guys are being... Yeah, you're not being broadcast right. Give me a second. Yeah, I figured as much. Okay, now you're good. But okay, back to Kanye here. So, the whole deal... Okay, like I was saying, Kanye's mother obviously was sacrificed, and he went to the whole God and... You know, making this mega church and all that. And of course, he was real big into that. I actually listened to his full speech with Joe Rogan, and that was really long. And it was really good. Because Kanye, man, he's an imaginative thinker. He's just one of these guys that just so many ideas. And Musk is like that too. So basically what I'm saying, yeah, Musk is like that too, because I listened to him and I listened to Musk, and it was very, very close, except Kanye was just more wild. The stuff that he said actually made me want to vote for him as president, because it was just so, like, wow, that's amazing. Like, he was talking about, you know, he said, we want things to be better than Ready Player One. Like, we want things to be more awesome than that. And I'm like, oh, okay, because I was all down for that. You guys know how I am when it comes to, oh, there we go. You guys know how I am
when it comes to... You welcome our new robot overlord.
Yeah, 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 when I'm all into that. But, oh, something about some train departure. Okay. Okay, anyway... Yeah, it is an RPG, so it's a little difficult to talk and play it, but I think I can do it. Anyway, yeah, alright. So, what we were talking about here is the fact that, yeah, alright. He was talking about all this amazing shit, and I was really getting into it. I almost voted for him, it was very close, and... You know, then after that, everything started to change. Like, after around the divorce and all that, he just went crazy into all this, the Jews. And keep in mind, it wasn't... When he talked about the Jews has a lot to do with one of the rappers that he worked with that had dated a Rothschild. He was trying to say the Jews are responsible for a lot of the crazy shit that goes on in Hollywood. And, I mean, they may be a large part responsible, but they're not fully responsible. And, again, the thing is, he's not like, oh, we gotta get rid of all the... Well, I mean, I don't know about him personally, but I know that a lot of people that are against the elite, you know, they're not like, oh, we gotta get rid of all the Jewish people, because that's ridiculous. That's stupid. You can't think that every single Jewish person walking the face of the earth is up to some fucking funny business just because, you know, they're Jewish. It's ridiculous. So, hold on. Preset difficulty.
There might be some that are, but not...
Yeah, general, not everybody.
To assume the entire race
it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll actually just talk about these, because there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to play this game and talk. It's just not going to happen. I can't multitask an RPG where I'm having to read and, you know, it's difficult. I'm not that much of a multitasker. If it comes to a platforming game, something like that, beat 'em up, anything, I can focus. This one I can't. So just sit there on this screen, let me talk, and then we'll get to the gameplay. All right, but... Anyway, all right. So, like we were saying, yeah, he was talking about all the, you know, the MK Ultra and the Jews, and Nick Cannon was the one that said MK Ultra is a real thing. It was the first time Kanye broke, his mind went. I guess you could say his mind keeps going, probably because they keep trying to put the shit on him. They keep trying to. Use those same things, and they're not working on him. I don't think the MK Ultra's not working on Kanye West. That's what I'm trying to say.
I was just going to say.
Go ahead.
We know MK Ultra's a real thing.
We know it's real.
Was it the CIA? Because didn't they declassify it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an MK Monarch.
It was CIA or FBI. What?
Yeah, an MK Monarch. Okay, but what you gotta understand is Kanye has a weird brain that somehow either he was put into it at an earlier age and he became immune. I mean, it happens. If we're talking about a bunch of different things, you know, that's supposed to change the way the brain works. Sometimes the brain doesn't work that way. And what we have is a bunch of people fucking scrambling because they made this guy a superstar. And they want him to play ball, but he's not playing ball. And they're really close from probably trying to yeet him. I am serious. And a lot of this seems to have been... Now, there's a very good chance... that all this crazy stuff that's in his brain right now is the byproduct of all the of them keep trying to fix him. They keep trying to take him to this place and that place. If we had somebody, listen, if there was somebody with legitimate mental problems that went through therapy and all the things that Kanye has been through, he wouldn't be acting like this. He would be a completely different kind of person. You know those people that have weird outbursts or they, you know, because they're bipolar, they're manic or something like that. And they eventually put them on drugs and they calm down and chill the hell out for the most part. Well, Kanye has been on all these drugs and they're not working. He said he was on all kinds of drugs. He said in TMZ he was on all kinds of drugs. And he said they're not working. They're turning him into something else. And they're trying that. And then they're doing this shit to him on the side. They're really trying to fuck him up. And I really think that a lot of this... Again, that's why they took his mother. Because they knew that was his connection to reality. His connection to life. That's the person that he loved the most. Was his mother. And they took her. They took her from... It was a plastic surgery death, which is fucking bizarre. The amount of people that get plastic surgeries in Hollywood and his mother dies? Really? That's really fucking bizarre. Hollywood is pretty much a plastic surgery industry. They've got the best of the best. And Kanye West has... she's probably... His mother probably has the best surgeon you can possibly think of. If that woman died, it's because of somebody purposely fucking doing that shit. That was purposefully done. And he knows it. That's why he went on and did the video and said that they killed her. They sacrificed her. What do you think he... And this was long before his Nazi tirade. This was a few months ago. So then he started going crazy and he started saying the Jews. You know, isn't it odd that out of everything else, he just goes off about the Jews? And of course, Dave Chappelle, he's kind of shaking in his boots because Chappelle said the same shit a couple of years ago before he got back into recognition. Remember, Dave Chappelle talked a lot about the elite and what they did. There's videos of him. And they said, oh, he's just losing it. He's manic. Same thing they said about Kanye. Now, Dave Chappelle actually said in SNL, he says, yeah, there might be a lot of people like that doing it, but it's one thing to see it and another thing to say it. You know, Dave Chappelle's not going to deny that that shit's going on. He said, there's an awful lot of... He says, I'm going to say one thing about Hollywood. A lot of Jews. A lot of Jews. And he's true. But, and it's not... And again, it's not every single Jewish person, all right? That's not the thing. But what I am saying is these people in Hollywood, these elite people in Hollywood, are doing some things. And again, all these white nationalists would be like, oh, you don't like the Jews either. I said, no, there's actually a lot of Jews I like. Some of my favorite people in the world are Jewish, like Howard Stern. I told you I look up to Howard Stern. You know, as far as
even
his...
After he, even after...
Yeah, well, his classic Howard. Classic Howard that didn't give a fuck.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah.
Classic Howard that didn't give a fuck. That's the Stern I looked up to. Mel Brooks. Still, I think that The History of the World Part 1 is the funniest comedy I've ever seen. Mel Brooks knew how to do it. Adam Sandler. You know, they talk so much about fucking politically incorrect comedy being a horrible thing. And these guys were the kings of it. Jewish people were the kings of punching down. You know, we ought to be fucking thanking Jewish people for giving us comedy that really just goes above and beyond. I'm sorry, there's a lot of Jewish comedians out there that I highly respect. You know, Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song where he talks about all the people that are Jewish and you didn't know were Jewish? You know, I don't have any problems with, what is his name? Who plays Captain Kirk on Star Trek? Patrick Stewart.
Gardner?
Patrick Stewart. Don't have any issues with Patrick Stewart.
No, Patrick Stewart was Picard.
William oh, Picard. Picard, I'm sorry. Picard. Jean-Luc Picard. My bad. But yeah, I don't have any problems with Patrick Stewart or any of these other, you know, people like that that are in it. I don't have any issues with these people. But what I am saying is there are definitely elites out there, and they happen to be Jewish, and unfortunately, they happen to be pretty evil. I mean, it's not my fault. I can't do anything about it. You know, it's not like I can say, you know, I mean, I say this all the time. If it was Arabic people, I would say, well, it's Arabic people out there in Hollywood doing it. Or if it were, you know, for some odd reason, the black community somehow, they got it. But it was black folks and they were doing crazy shit. And I'd say, well, maybe it's them. Or it was Asian people that were doing it. Doesn't matter the nationality. It just happens to be the nationality. You know, now I don't know that's the thing. And it doesn't even have anything to do with rich people because I've talked with rich people. And rich people have told me, no, we don't have any kind of weird elite clubs out here. They've said that. There's nothing like that. So we have to look at this as, you know, we gotta look at this for what it is. Unfortunately, a lot of people of a certain nationality, I mean, are doing some crazy shit. And it might not just be all that nationality. There might be other people. I really don't think all of Hollywood is Jewish. Are there a lot? I mean, Dave Chappelle said there's a lot of Jews. He didn't say they were all Jews. And, I mean, we can't say that everybody in the... again, we can't say everybody in entertainment is. I'm sure there's been a lot of people that have, you know, changed things up. And Jay-Z's even Jewish, you know, and he's into a lot of that shit. I don't know what this has to do with. Now, I will say some very interesting things. I will say that there is a Jewish book of magic called the Kabbalah. And I don't know how much of that is referenced. Because I think what a lot of people are saying is satanic could be more based on the Kabbalah. And again, that's what the Kabbalah is. It is a Jewish book of magic, of occult. That's what it is. And it's very deep. And there's actually a lot of stuff you can learn from it. I've looked at it. Of course, in my early occult studies, I studied it. So yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it's pretty obvious that sort of thing could be happening. And sacrificing for power? Yeah, if you worship power, you're going to sacrifice for power. Remember, these people worship power and image and, you know, that's their thing because they became powerful. So if you are powerful, you want to remain powerful. So you do things like this. You know, and these people are very religious in that sense. I'm not saying that they're like, you know, hold on, let me rephrase that. I'm saying that if you believe in power and you believe in, like, I don't know if it's satanic, I don't know what it is, but whatever being you're, you know, sacrificing to, whatever kind of gods or whatever you're doing this for, you're going to continue doing it if it continues to bring you the results you want. Remember, Grant Morrison said, only results matter. If sacrificing a person happened to make a person more relevant and powerful, then they would probably sacrifice another one. I'm just saying. Now, we can't say for certain that taking somebody's life made somebody powerful. We can't say that for certain because there's no way to prove that. And I'd hate to see the scientists that tried that experiment. So, but that's what they're saying. They're saying if we, and there's a mafia aspect to this. And I'm not saying Italian mafia. I'm saying mafia-esque. There's mafia elements to this. Because they have a tight, it's all very tight-lipped. It's all about being in different guilds. You can't work with certain directors if you're not in certain guilds. It's all very, you know, protective, and there's rituals, and there's all kinds of things that go on. We know all this. And this, a lot of this is being exposed now. This is no longer some crazy conspiracy theory. And, I mean, maybe it is, again, something having to do with the Kabbalah and the, you know, the, I haven't sat down and actually read the whole damn thing. It's not easy to read. The Kabbalah is not an easy book to read at all. A lot of these older magic books, they're not easy to read. Now, I don't know about Styx Hexenhammer. He's one that's been translating a lot of these older books. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's read the Kabbalah a few times, you know, knowing him. But I don't have the kind of knowledge to understand what's being talked about. Ever talk about the beard of God? Like, what do you mean? Okay, so we've got it confirmed that God has a beard? But no, that was literally in there. And I kind of chuckled when I saw that. It was like, oh, wow, they're literally talking about the beard of God here. It's like, well, damn. So, yeah. These people are very, very, very entranced in this kind of stuff. And it's made them powerful. Now, I don't even know how deep it goes in Hollywood, but I have been told that Hollywood is the wood that you would make a wand out of. Like, back in the old days, like with the, you know, the old occult staves and things like that. Staffs, a magic staff. They said you would make that from a Hollywood. That's what you would use to make the staff. So it was literally a symbol for magic. So, and what do they call it? What do they make? They make movie magic, right? That's what it's all about, making movie magic. And they have made movie magic for several years. They make blockbusters that the entire world is influenced by. Everybody. So, I mean, I was reading a Japanese novel, and they were talking about Hollywood blockbusters. I was reading Discipline, and they said, oh, that's like a Hollywood blockbuster. Because Japan knows about the Hollywood blockbusters. They were interested in them too. China was interested in the Hollywood blockbusters. The Hollywood blockbusters have some kind of magic to them. You don't see Canadian blockbusters, no offense, Canada. But you don't see, I mean, China's even trying and they're failing. They've got big budgets. And nobody gives a shit in hell. Everybody wants to see what's coming out. What's Hollywood doing? Oh, they're doing Transformers. China puts out a movie. And then Hollywood puts out a movie and translates it to Chinese. Mandarin. What do you think the Chinese are going to go see? The Hollywood Transformers movie. Because that's what they did. Do you know why all those Transformers movies exist? Because China had to keep... China kept seeing them. And China kept seeing them at such a high rate that they had to keep making them because it was making tons of money. That's why they won't ever let that franchise die, because China loves it. And they're gonna, you know what they're gonna do in 2023? They're gonna go see Rise of the Beasts. They're gonna love that movie. They wanted that Warcraft movie. There's probably gonna be a Genshin Impact thing, because they like that Genshin stuff. They like a lot of this kind of stuff. Oh yeah, they're making money. They're making money hand over fist. So, you have to keep in mind that, you know, this is the biggest entertainment industry in the world. You gotta wonder how they're run. You know, you gotta wonder how they haven't fallen. I mean, granted, Hollywood is not what it used to be, but but if you look at the amount of money that these movies gross, it's not completely fallen apart yet. We still got even these Marvel movies that people don't like because they're woke. They still get a lot of fucking money around the world. Now, I don't know. The Black Panther movie probably won't do so well. I heard that that's not going to China.
I wonder why.
A lot of other movies. But a lot of these other movies, they have the biggest budgets. I think Black Adam came over there. I think it did real well. A lot of these movies. Yeah, a lot of these movies come over and they do really fucking well around the world. And all countries want to watch them. They want them dubbed in their language so they can watch them. Indians love it. Oh yeah, they love it. Indians love it. Chinese, Russian, it doesn't matter. Because their movies aren't that great.
Their movies aren't that great.
They're really not.
Yeah, but I don't think Russia's getting any movies from Hollywood because, well...
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying Russia, China, Japan, freaking other parts of Europe, Sweden, Norway, all these places. Pretty much every place you can think of is trying to either mimic or is trying, yeah, they're trying to mimic a Hollywood movie. India's crazy about it. They've made so many movies that are just supposed to be Hollywood movies. That's just Indian versions of them. And some of them are really great. But that's what we're saying here. Hollywood has a kind of magic. You know, it really does. So when we talk about the Kabbalah and all that kind of thing, we have to really focus on what it created. And this even goes back to the 50s when we're talking about the grand old age of Hollywood. You know, you can't tell me that there weren't some kind of rituals and things that went on back in that time, because I know there were. I know that that kind of stuff went on. And, I mean, the MK Ultra program, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, this is one thing I've said for a long, long time, even before I started this kind of content. It didn't just stop at MK Ultra. What happens when you develop something? Well, you continue to perfect it. You don't just stop it. You're like, okay, this works, we're done. What if Nintendo just made Nintendo? Said, okay, yep, we're done. Okay, everybody's got a Nintendo Entertainment System. This is as good as it gets. We're not making any more. It's over. No, they made the Super Nintendo 64, and then we're on to the Switch, you know, eventually. So that's what they do with any of these kind of programs. They test them out. They see how people act on them, and then they develop them over time. They get better and better, and they change them. They have the Monarch, and they have the Beta Kitten program. They have so many other different little programs that spawn from MKUltra. It didn't just sit on, oh, this is MKUltra, we're done here. No. You have that research, you develop that research into something that works even better than what you had before, and you fine tailor it to do what you want to do. Because all it is a mind control thing. And when we talk about controlling the mind, we're not talking about putting somebody, even though there are some stuff in the, in the Springmeier book about some kind of electrodes or something, I don't know, but that was early. I don't know if they're still doing that. But I do know that whatever they're doing, it's something more. Again, I mean, it could be digital. There could be a lot of different things they're doing now, because we have upgrades in technology. We don't have the same kind of crap that we used to have, you know, 40 years ago. We could have, I mean, we have no idea how they actually do it. But I know they're not doing it the same way they did it back in the 40s or the 50s when they first tried it. So that's why you have a guy like Kanye, who has proven pretty much that he is not responding to these treatments. And if anything, they're making him worse. You know, it's almost like he's a project. And he's failing miserably. And they're trying to figure out, hey, we might have to pull the plug on this. Because it feels like to me they were trying to do something like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is one of the biggest cases of MKUltra. And that's something that Vigilant talked about quite a bit in his earlier works and earlier writings, which again are sadly paywalled. I'm like, damn, I can understand if you would paywall the new stuff, because that's fine, but you're gonna literally take the old knowledge, the old stuff, all the research you've done, and make people pay to see it? It's kind of shitty. So again, but they, I mean, I was even looking at the very first article on the website, the one he wrote in 2010 when they first started. And it's paywalled. I'm like, damn, you're not even going to let people get the basic information? It's going to make people want to open up their own shit, because obviously he's too worried about money. So if he's worried about money, then I understand, though. Like, you want to make money from your work. I understand that. But at the same time, it's just, I don't know. It's you're holding the knowledge out. I mean, I guess he figures people can get it anywhere, but he was one of the most in-depth sources I knew, because he would go bit by bit, you know, with this. He would actually look through the Springmeier books. He'd look through the ritual books. He had all the occult books, and, you know, he would study the rituals just so he knew what was going on. He would study the, you know, the Masons had a point in this as well, obviously at the top, tippy-top levels, which most people aren't even involved with. And, yeah, all this stuff came together, and he researched it. He said, well, this is this, that is this, this is this. And he could take an image and directly find the page in the book that would correspond with that. He says, well, see how they're doing this here? Because they do this there in this ritual. And he would actually be able to correspond page from the, you know, what's in the on the screen. Like with music videos, they do that a lot, because music videos are performance art. And let me tell you something about music videos and performances. This is something that's very, very fascinating. When you are performing art, art can be a ritual. You can use art to create, like with, I use this all too often. I mean, it's just, Grant Morrison and the Invisibles. You know, Grant Morrison's Invisibles was a hyper sigil. Basically, he wanted things to happen in his life while he was writing that comic, and they did. So, when we see a ritual from pop stars or things like that, they're moving in certain ways. They're doing certain things. They're wearing certain attire. They're doing all this to be able to unleash a certain ritual. I don't know what it could be. It might not even be something that they have planned. Remember, all these people have handlers. That's part of the industry. They all have handlers. Kanye was exposing a fitness trainer as a handler. And I'm like, why am I not even surprised? Of course, a popular fitness trainer that trains all these stars. Of course he's a handler. And why would you not be a handler if you're a fitness trainer that you work with so many stars? So you can keep people on the program. Again, I think people know what's going on in Hollywood, but they're not saying anything about it because, one, it works. Like, it's made them famous. Two, the effects aren't as bad. Three, it's not nearly as painful or harmful as it used to be. And they've probably made it very, very simple to do. And Kanye's just one that isn't responding to it, or he knows what's up because of maybe his background or things he's been through. And yeah, that's the difference here. The difference is it's not harming people like it used to, but it's working. And people are all for it. They used to say Madonna was a major handler. And I believe she is. They also used to say Katy Perry was, but I don't think she is anymore. But they said Madonna was a handler, big time. She was one of the, like, she was one of the head elites that made sure everything was working, you know, was going smoothly. That's what her job was, from what I had read. And that seems to still be the case. She's trying to keep herself relevant at fucking 60. 70? It's crazy. Yeah, she still wants to be. And you remember the Super Bowl thing. When Madonna went in the Super Bowl and did the most ritualistic fucking shit ever. That was straight up a cult. I think it was the 2014 Super Bowl. If you watch that damn Super Bowl, I swear to God, whatever she did set a lot of events into motion. Because that was the most ritualistic shit I have ever seen on that stage. And she knew it was. And VC did a whole article detailing step by step everything she did from the ritual. Every single move she made. Everything she wore. All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Madonna's been into it for a long, long time. In fact, I think Madonna jumped on it. Because they offered her power and fame and fortune, and she took it. Remember what Michael Jackson said about her. She was far too much of a... he said horrible things about Madonna.
Yeah.
Remember, Michael was a very religious man. So he wanted nothing to do. He thought of her as a temptress, as a seductress, a succubus. He hated her. He didn't want anything to do with her. And she tried to tempt him so many times, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So, yeah, she's... And also, there's a very good chance that she could have been part of his little thing. You know, she might have been trying to watch him. You know, sometimes they have a handler marry a star to keep tabs on them, to keep their programming up. I believe a lot of this shit's going on. And again, this isn't kind of like you think. It's not like, it's not painful like it was back in the days of, what was that girl? There was a girl, they first started doing this shit, and she was on Dr. Phil one time, and she kept talking about Peter Pan and all this kind of stuff. Remember, fairy tales are a big part of the brainwashing process. They've always been a big part of it. But when she kept going on about Peter Pan and all these other fairy tale things, I was like, oh my God, because I knew it. They often use fairy tales and things like that because it was a very easy way to program the brain. So, what was her name? I can't remember. She was a young child star in a movie. It was a dark movie. I think it was Tim Burton, but I'm not sure what movie she was. I've got her name on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't remember what it was. Maybe she was in Carrie? Maybe she was in The Exorcist? I can't remember which movie. It was a horror movie.
So we're talking like 67.
Yeah. She's all fucked up now. They ruined her. This is when they were first trying the shit out, and they fucked her up. So they had to perfect it. They realized they ruined her, and they're like, oh shit. So they pretty much left her to suffer. And she did. She did for so long. You could tell by listening to her that she was not coherent. And I knew it. I was like, oh my God. She just went off about fantasy stuff so much. I'm like, yeah, she's definitely part of that. And it's... What's her name? Duvall. Shelley Duvall. That's it. Shelley Duvall.
Oh.
Shelley Duvall. Yeah. She just... It's over for her. Roseanne knew what was going on. Roseanne is huge conspiracy theorist. I wonder what she thinks about Kanye. But Roseanne, I have listened to Roseanne talk to Sim Tripoli, and Roseanne is spot on with a lot of this shit. Roseanne will tell you all about it. And I am so glad that she finally came out there and just said, yeah, hey. Keep in mind, she wasn't funny or anything until she got into a car accident. Then she became pretty much a damn genius. Just funny and made everybody laugh and became a star. But she was smart. That's the thing. She was intelligent. She knew what was going on. And what they're finding out is they're getting people that are more... they're too intelligent to understand what's actually going on. They're like, hey, we know... Excuse me, I didn't say that right. I'm letting my mouth go ahead of my brain here. What I mean to say is they're too intelligent and they realize what is going on. They're like, oh, we know what's going on now. You don't want to be a part of this because we're smarter than that. We know what you're trying to do. They might even have this subtle now. This might not be... what you think it is, again. Like I said, it could be some simple exercises that they make them do. I don't know. It could be full-on crazy crap like they used to. We don't know. I haven't been there. I haven't seen it. I know the parties still exist. I know a lot of the other crazy shit still goes on. But yeah, Hollywood is a really fucked up place. And it has to be to make these blockbusters that they make. Because they make the biggest entertainment productions of anybody else in the world. And the most received productions in the world. They also end up influencing the world. What people in India see from Hollywood reflects on their own culture. What people in Japan see reflects on their culture. You know? You're looking at it. You see all this woke shit, and you don't think, oh, this will never come to so-and-so country. Yeah, eventually it will. Because the people are going to see a Hollywood movie, or, they're going to either see the movie and be influenced by it, or people will see it and they'll be like, oh, we like this. Let's make our own version of this for our country. And it has the same kind of agenda in it. And they're like, oh, okay, we kind of want to do this. So, yeah, that's what I'm talking about here. They make movies that influence everybody. Doesn't matter where you're at. So that's important. And it has to be run cutthroat. It has to be run mafia-esque. It has to be run with all these weird brain techniques and magic and occult. They just took everything, threw it in a fucking bucket, and said, this is how we're going to make an entertainment empire. And I don't really fucking fault them for that, because I understand that's what they did in order to maintain what they have now. But at the same time, this is what happens. You have people like Kanye and Roseanne and others who break out of it. And Kanye, he's gone absolutely nuts. And Britney Spears. Britney Spears is, we really need to talk about Spears. Spears just married herself. And this is after she decided she wanted to kind of get out of the whole thing. Because she's done with it. Her father was her handler. Her father was the one in charge of her doing all that shit. Sometimes it works like that. The father will say, oh yeah, I'll help make my kid into a superstar. What do I need to do? They hand him a book. They tell him the things. They said, meet up with these people. It's not that hard. A lot of people think all this shit is just, you know, some super ultra difficult stuff. I mean, of course they have facilities to monitor this kind of thing. But this is something that's been going on for years and years and years. And I'm surprised other countries haven't tried it. That I know of. But yeah, that's what we've got with Yi right now. And somebody said something that they always have a period where a person, like a celebrity, will do everything they can as part of a ritual. Oh, if you shame them. If you shame them, you have to do a ritual where you defame yourself.
Mm.
Yeah. If you shame them, you have to defame yourself. That's part of... Yeah. Because if not, I don't know, they might eat him. So he might not have a choice. He has to defame himself. Mm. Who knows what else happened? You know, Kanye has family. He might not have a mother, but he's got family. So there's other people that they could target. I mean, you don't think these people don't have a fucking list of every single contact he's got? Every single family member, his kids, all that kind of thing. Of course, all his kids are going to be raised up in MK. So, I mean, it is what it is. Remember the Mickey Mouse Club, the MK Mouse Club. That whole Mickey Mouse Club was a bunch of MK kids, and that's been done articles on. All this shit existed for years. You can look it all up. You'll have to go to the archive page because, again, VC locked his shit. But he says you can give the gift of knowledge for $10 a year. I think it's a year or a month or whatever. And he also has a book that you can buy, basically where he's compiled all his articles into a physical book format. So if you want to have books to have all this knowledge, you can. And that might be an easier way for some of you. Because it is really useful stuff. And, then we have to talk about Balenciaga. And they say he's defending Balenciaga. And the only thing I've got to say about Balenciaga is, according... first of all, yeah, they're fucking pedophiles. Of course. Of course! That shit goes on in there. They've sacrificed kids. Guy talked about it on Sam Tripoli. He made a movie of it. It didn't do very well because people weren't watching it for the right reasons. Will we watch it here? I don't know. I can't remember the name of it, but it was pretty awful from what I've... the movie itself didn't do... It had 2.6 out of 10. But yeah, he made a movie. He wanted to show what really goes on, how the children are actually sacrificed. He said... I remember. Basically, a lot of kids get lost in the woods and the forest and stuff like that. They actually have people out there that will go scouting for kids. It's fucking awful. It's horrible. Just like they have with these sex traffickers. There was a sex trafficker in my area. Basically, well, here's how it happened. It wasn't my area. It was Florida. This girl, basically, she was talking to a guy on the internet. And we know how we've talked about this, guys. We've talked about this in the manosphere. How the hot rich guy will try to talk to the girl to have her come over to where he's at and live like a, you know, live like a millionaire for a couple of days, and then bring her back, and now she's like, oh, I don't need none of you. I was with this hot rich guy. Well, unfortunately, this was a different situation. This motherfucker was found out to have three other girls, and he was a sex trafficker. And they caught his ass. Thank God. And there's no telling what they do with those girls. Sometimes those girls are prostitutes. Sometimes those girls get... I mean, we don't know. Sometimes they do become MK'd and all that shit. You don't... There is one... Like, Vigilant recommends Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch is a movie that explains what happens to a lot of these starlets. There is an uncut version of it where I think they show the rituals that go on while the girls are having the daydreams. And often it's really sadistic, sick rituals where they're fucking these really old guys, like the Weinstein, you know, stuff like that. So that's part of the Beta Kitten program. Yeah, this stuff is really fascinating, but you can lose your mind on it, so, you know, it's one of those things where you know the knowledge, but don't just sit and fucking go down all the rabbit holes. But yeah, that's right. That's all this shit. That's what we've got going on right now. We've got a case of a man that is being put through everything. He called out the people that did it, which may be Jewish handlers in his case. I mean, it is what it is. And he lost $1.6 million in a day. Not very good. Not a good idea. $1.6 billion in one day. So, yeah. It's not really, really good. But Kanye, I mean... He's kind of the victim here. And, I mean... Him on Alex Jones, it's really surprising that Alex didn't notice. I'm starting to think Alex could be controlled opposition. Because either that or Alex isn't talking. But one thing about Alex Jones is that he was aware of the MKUltra program. Highly aware of the MKUltra program. If you can't tell that this man was a fucking MK experiment, I don't know what to tell you. I'm serious. It's crazy. I should be on Alex Jones. They'd have everybody after me. FBI, everything. It's like, you know too much. It's like, no, I use what's called common sense. People don't have a lot of common sense. It's like, well, you know, you think about it.
Yeah, common sense has been dead in the...
People go too far. Like, they say, oh, they have a pizza, you know, the Pizzagate thing and all that crap. They went a little too far and into wild territory. But then you have real deal conspiracies that are going on where people are trying to keep things in control. Like, I love it in The Invisibles when they say, why is all this going on? To maintain the status quo. Why else do you think it's going on? They say it's not to control the world. They have control of the world. They're simply trying to maintain the status quo. To keep things in check. Somebody driving?
Johnny?
Oh, no, he's...
No, I'm not driving.
Okay, you're good, you're good. But it's only to maintain the status quo. It's not to... People are like, oh, they're gonna control the world! You fool! They control the world. They're trying to keep order and keep things the way they are. Why? Because they're making money, and they're famous... And they have a way to influence the entire world. If you had the ability to continue to be famous, influence the entire world, and have the highest amount of recognition in the entertainment industry, then why would you want to get rid of that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, they literally can put a movie out in Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe people might watch it. like, say Black Panther, you know, Zimbabwe, mostly black, let's not even beat around the bush. You throw that movie out there, Zimbabwe people might look at it, and, well, of course you're going to have some people because they really don't like modern, they don't like black American culture, but they like the, I don't know what they'll think about the African culture in it. But it may be a way to bring that stuff into a place like Zimbabwe. So they'd be like, oh, okay. And the women start thinking, they see these strong, independent women, and they might be like, You know, it's like I want to be strong like her.
You know how that works.
It's like, yeah, I want to be strong like her. I want to be a warrior. I mean, it takes only a little bit. And it's not even the older, it's not even the grown women. It's the little girls that watch it. I want to be a warrior, mommy. You know, and that's where you go. And that changes everything. So, again, I mean, one thing I've noticed about black women, this is completely different. A lot of them want to fight. There was one completely different topic. But today, a couple days ago, I wish Drex was on because I wanted him to hear this. But I got into it with a manager at my job. And she was a German Shepherd. Let's not even beat around the, I mean, to the T. When you look up the word, it's in her. She's on the bottom of it. She's right there. She's got the picture. Now, let me tell you what happened here. The whole time she got over there, she started talking about, these men ain't shit. They're these men. Just constantly talking about how horrible men are. Terrible men are. And the men were starting to get a belly full of it. They were starting to get, you know, we got a whole bunch. There's all men working the truck. You know, we unload trucks. It's men that unload the trucks mostly. She's doing clothes,
well,
right?
Yeah.
Now, these men are sitting here listening to this shit. And these young black men, they're getting about damn tired of hearing it. And they're like, hold on, wait, you know. And finally, after all that, you know, she had the nerve to ask one of the real good guy. She went and asked him, and she said, you want some cherry pie? And he said, no thanks, I'm vegan. And I laughed my ass off. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah. And she's like, why not? He's like, what do you mean you're vegan? He's like, no, I don't have nothing like that. It's like, that's what he was trying to tell her. He's like, he said, I'm not interested. And she got all upset. But then we, you know, they got into an argument. I don't know what the hell it was all about. But basically, I needed them to move their shit because I had to move my shit, right? So she gets into my face. Directly into my face. I'm not talking about a couple yards away. Right up in my face and start screaming and cussing at me. And she is losing her mind, walking up to me. Where do you want me to move it to? Where are we gonna? And I said, all right, first of all, logic. You can move this over to this area as we normally do when you're not here. And this can go over there. And she's cussing and losing her mind. And I said to her, please get out of my face. I said it in a very deep tone because I was coming this close to being on that damn jail cell. I said, please get out of my face. I said it just like that. I don't even think I said please. I don't even think I said please. I said, get out of my face. Like, that's literally what I said. And she backed off. She backed off after that. And she almost lost her job because of that. My supervisor's man, former army guy, he says, you know what? She almost lost her job. I said, why? I said, she's not supposed to be in an employee's face yelling like that. Like, that don't happen. She almost lost her job. And, I mean, yeah. I was like, damn. And you know what's crazy after we got into it? About 20 minutes later, she changes into a completely different woman. And then there's, you know, because we play music back there. And there's a song on it. She's dancing like she's at a party. Like, damn, yeah. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, man. So, you know what, black man? I feel for you now. I now understand what you deal with. I could not... when she was coming towards me, the way she acted and the look on her face, it reminded me of an angry gorilla. It literally reminded me, like, I was like, oh, shit. You know, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I was like, somewhere there's a man that would be married to this woman. Now, thankfully, she don't have nobody, by the way. Just all these men ain't worth shit. She don't have nobody. But you know what's crazy? Even though the black girl was looking and said, what are you doing in his face? It's like, he basically said, you all up in his face. You know, they was even saying it was too much. She just took all kinds of anger out on me. It almost makes me wonder if there needs to be a job where a man can sit in a chair and a woman just comes in and screams at him. And then he gets paid for it. You just sit in the chair and you say, all right, I'm every man that you ever fucking hated. Every ex-husband, every whatever. Just go ahead and scream at me and tell me what you want. And you just sit there and you just listen.
That's called a therapist.
Huh?
That's called a therapist.
Yeah. I guess you're right, but I was just saying if
I know.
I was like,
it needs to be better convened, and he needs to yell more.
Oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. I was like, could you? I just kept saying, I could never be married to somebody like that. That is the scariest thing. She just turned into this absolute monster. I'm like, my God, what a hateful woman. Jesus. I mean, that was too much for me. That was way too much for me. And then, I'm going to say, some of these dudes, these bros ain't shit either. This man, he's arguing with this woman. And I swear, look, I'm blasting heavy metal in my ear. And I'm hearing their whole goddamn conversation. He must have went at her for over an hour. And he looks at me, and he says, you see me? He basically says, I whip pussy. I said, looked like to me that you were pretty much pussy whipped by that conversation, because if you were whipping pussy, if you were actually dominant, that conversation would have been over with in less than 5 minutes. You wouldn't have had no argument. That shit would have been done. She'd have been like, yes, sir. And then after that, he got done with that argument. He said, all right, now I'm going to go call somebody else. And he's going to go argue with them. I'm like, damn, bro, what is your thing? You just got to call people and argue with them? While he's working, by the way.
Now.
While he's working, he's just arguing with people. I'm like, and he says to me, and I think it's another girl. And he says to me, he says, Grim, he said, I'm going to give them to you. I said, who are you going to give? What are you going to give me? He said, them. I said, them. What do you mean? He said, the whole female race. I said, buddy, I'm going to give them right back to you. He said, why are you going to give them back to me? And he said, I'm not dealing with that bullshit. If you can't deal with it, I know I can't. He said, you don't think you can deal with it? I said, I know I can't deal with it. And then the girl chimed in. I said, I'm going to pay him. He said, you're going to pay him. Yeah, I said, I'm going to pay him to leave. Yeah. And the girl chimed in. She said, don't worry, they'll be back. And I said, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to pay him again. They said, they come back in, I'm going to pay him again. I said, nope, I don't got time for this shit. Here's your money. Go on ahead. It's like, I'd rather pay him. Get him gone. I don't got time for the bullshit. But that, oh man, they was laughing. And of course, then we had another guy. Man, there's so much shit that happens. Another guy, he threw the truck all day. He's a young guy. I don't know, he's been acting different. But he's basically flirting with the girl over there in clothes. And they both sitting there chilling. And I say, all right. So which one of y'all is going to drive whoever home tonight? And they're laughing like, what you talking about? I'm like, well, y'all been sitting there flirting for a while. It's Saturday and life is short. What are y'all fitting to do? And they start laughing. And she's like, and he's like, it's like, it's like he's saying, you don't want no babies? I said, no, not me. And they said, you don't have no kids? I said, no, I don't. You said, you want them? I said, I don't know yet. And I still say, I really don't. I said, I might not. But she said, I don't want none either. I said, nah. I said, every woman that says that bullshit, as soon as she has a damn kid, that changes her, which I have noticed. I said, I dated an ex that said she wasn't going to have no kids. She said she wasn't going to have no kids at all, and she has two kids, and she became a mama, like a hardcore mama. I said, your whole brain changes after you have a kid sometimes. It's actually sometimes. That's fucking biologically proven. That a woman become a mama and that changes every damn thing. So she's like, well, I don't know. And he's like, he says to her, you're going to have four of them. It's like, four? I said, well, you better get started. I tell you. Oh, man. I love this crazy shit, man. Part of it I hate, but part of it I love. It's just, you never know. They got so many young girls that come in. She was only 19. The other guy, he was only like 20. They have all these young girls come in and do all this stuff. Oh, I love flirting with them and all that other stuff. It's the black girls that are more willing to talk to me than the white ones. I've noticed that. The white girl in there, she won't say a damn word to me. Black girls come in there, they got everything in the world to say to me. There was a damn black woman, young black girl, walked by while I was working. I had a damn pallet jack in my hand going down. And she's literally taking her hands and putting them up against her crotch, going like, you know how what they used to do, suck it on DX, like back in the day, Degeneration X. She was doing that shit, yeah. And he's like, "Hey, she's doing this." I'm like, and then that girl says, "Girl, stop it!" And I'm like, "Damn, y'all crazy. These girls like." You see a tall white man, and I'm not even a good-looking tall white man. And they're like, I want that. I don't know, man. It's some crazy shit. This stuff I deal with at my age. I'm an older tall white man, too, but I don't look my age. So that's the thing. I look like I mean, hell, they told me I'm anywhere from 16 to 20. But I don't look, but, you know, oh, wow. Yeah, I look young.
You look mid-20. Yeah.
Yeah. And now you look at that and they're like, oh, man. Well, I got it from my mother. She don't look her age either. It's just our fucking genes, I guess. Maybe I should have kids to spread on the magical immortality gene or the youth gene, whatever. But anyway, yeah. But anyway, yeah. That's the kind of shit that's been going on at my workplace. So, but yeah, the whole Kanye situation, all that, it's pretty fucked up. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I got a feeling that they're probably gonna try to yeet him because I think he's gone past that threshold. They have a certain threshold when if he is a project, if he literally is a project. And he went insane. He went crazy because of all the shit they did to him. Then, yeah, they're going to have to. Because it's like terminating, this didn't work. Terminating a bad project. You see that shit in sci-fi movies all the time. And games. There's all kinds of games where you have a project that's been... Oh, cool, you can get your gauntlet color. Okay. It's Christmas, so I'll use Christmas colors, green and red. I'm playing Coromon, by the way. Man, I mean, they copied off Pokemon so hard, but it looks fun. As long as I don't have a thing that looks like Pikachu, I want something cool this time. Oh, wow, the game looks great. It's really fun looking. Battle researcher. Okay. But anyway, like I was saying. All right. What else did I have to talk? I'm trying to think of what else I had to talk about, because there was more I had to talk about than that. Let me go to my articles real quick, because there were a few articles I wanted to kind of bring up that I hadn't really talked about, and they were kind of recent. Other than that damn turkey fryer that Valve sent that guy. He got a Steam Deck repaired, and they sent him a turkey fryer by accident. And it was supposed to go to somebody else. But instead,
so someone got a Steam Deck by mistake.
No. He got a Steam Deck, and he got his Steam Deck back, and the turkey fryer.
Oh.
So the turkey fryer was supposed to go back to whoever it was bought the turkey. How do you even buy a turkey fryer from a Steam Deck? How the fuck? What's going on in there? What are they doing in the Steam Deck repair place?
I don't know.
It's like, how does that happen? So, and, oh, we got to talk about the Twitter files. Okay, yeah. So Matt Taibbi, this is a progressive journalist. I want to get that straight. This is not a conservative journo. This is a old school, and we're talking old school. This is an old school whistleblower from back in the day when I was studying left-wing conspiracies on the left side of things. You know, because I was classical liberal. And Matt Taibbi would break the news about a lot of shit. Now he's breaking the news about Twitter. Why? Because Twitter very well may have helped sabotage an election. I mean, there's enough information here. There's enough information. Matt Taibbi pretty much talked about all of it. And people are still, like, on the left are saying, oh, this is bullshit. And it's like, okay, you have that much cognitive dissonance that you get the fucking information right in front of your face and you still can't believe it. That's fucking frightening. That's scary. It's like, this is the information. You are wrong. You have been proven that you're wrong. And you still refuse to believe it. Look, I am a guy that's going to admit when I'm wrong. If there's something that has new data and is completely different, then I'll listen to it. If it's a credible source and there's enough information. But these guys are looking at a credible source with information. And they're like, nope, this is bullshit. You're all crazy. No, you're the one that's crazy now. So, I don't know if you guys have read it, but I am a quick reader. You guys know that. I read Spawn in an hour and 44 minutes, and that took forever. Oh my god, that was a lot of reading. So, let's go ahead and start. Thread, the Twitter files. What you're about to read is the first installment in a series based upon thousands of internal documents obtained by sources at Twitter. The Twitter files tell an incredible story from inside one of the world's largest and most influential social media platforms, and it's a Frankensteinian tale of human-built mechanism grown out of the control of its designer. Twitter in its conception was a brilliant tool for enabling instant mass communication, making a true real-time global conversation possible for the first time. It was really fucking revolutionary when it first came out. In an early conception, Twitter more than lived up to its mission statement, giving people the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. As time progressed, however, the company was slowly forced to add those barriers. Some of the first tools for controlling speech were designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters. Slowly over time, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more uses for the tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well, first a little, then more often, then constantly. By 2020, requests were cut by, yeah, by, excuse me. By 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, more to review from the Biden team. The reply would come back, handled. Celebrities and unknowns alike could be removed or reviewed at the behest of a political party. Kind of scary. Both parties had access to these tools. For instance, in 2020, requests from both the Trump White House and Biden campaign were received and honored. However, the system wasn't balanced. It was based on contacts. Because Twitter was and is overwhelmingly staffed by people of one political orientation, we know what that is, there were more channels, more ways to complain, open to the left, the Democrats, than the right. Also, the contributions. The Democrats contributed 165,000. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Yeah, let's do that. The Democrats contributed $165,969 in 2022. Republicans, just $451. That's it. In 2020, oh, I'm sorry. This is actually going down instead of up. In 2018, the Democrats contributed $309,394. Oh, I'm reading that wrong again. $295.722. Republicans, $11,100. In 2020, $968,749. That's crazy. Again, I'm reading that wrong. Still, it's high. $909.431. Republicans, $14,137. Okay, now, 2022. Democrats, $165,969. Republicans, just $451. See how they go down with Republicans? Yes. Yeah. But in 2020, Democrats contributed $909,431 to Twitter. That's a lot of money. That's almost $1 million to Twitter. I wonder for what? I wonder, why would you contribute such a ridiculous amount of money to Twitter? Maybe because an election was coming up. The resulting slant in content moderation decisions is visible in the documents you're about to read. However, it's also the assessment of multiple current and former high-level executives. Okay, there was more throat-clearing about the process, but screw it, let's jump forward. The Twitter Files, Part 1. How and why Twitter blocked the Hunter Biden laptop story. On October 14, 2020, the New York Post published the Biden secret emails, an expose based on contents of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it might be unsafe. They even blocked its transmission via direct message, a tool hitherto reserved for extreme cases, like child pornography. Yeah. They used a tool that was used for child pornography to block the story. White House spokeswoman Kaleigh McEnany was locked out of her account for tweeting about the story, prompting a furious letter from Trump campaign staffer Mike Hahn, who seethed, at least pretend to care, for the next 20 days. This led public policy executive Carolyn Strom to send out a polite what the fuck query. Several employees noticed that there was tension between the comms and policy teams, who had little less control over moderation, and the safety trust teams. Strom's note returned the answer that the laptop story had been removed for violation of the company's hacked materials policy. Although several sources recalled hearing about a general warning from federal law enforcement that summer about possible foreign hacks, there's no evidence that I've seen of any government involvement in the laptop story. In fact, that might have been the problem. The decision was made at the highest levels of the company, but without the knowledge of CEO Jack Dorsey, with former head of legal policy and trust Vijaya Gadde playing a key role. They just freelanced it, is how one former employee characterized the decision. Hacking was the excuse, but within a few hours, pretty much everyone realized that wasn't going to hold, but no one had the guts to reverse it. You can see the confusion in the following lengthy exchange, which ends up including Gadde and former trust and safety chief Joel Roth. Comms official Trenton Kennedy writes, "I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for marking this as unsafe. And I think the best explainability argument for this externally would be that we're waiting to understand if this story is the result of hacked materials. We'll face hard questions on this if we don't have some kind of solid reasoning for marking the link unsafe." And they also said, will we also mark similar stories as unsafe? By this point, employee knew this was fucked, said one former employee. But the response was essentially to err on his side of, on the side of continuing to err. The policy basis is hacked materials, though as discussed, this is an emerging situation where the facts remain unclear. Given the severe risks here and the lessons of 2016, we're erring on the side of including a warning and preventing the consent from being amplified. What is the warning that will come up? When you click the link, you'll see a generic unsafe URL message. References spam, malware, and violations of the Twitter rules. Not ideal, but it's the only thing we have. Whatever we do in the comms, this will become a bias claim for Jack pre-hearing immediately. Let's make it clear we're proactively but cautiously interpreting this through the lens of our hack materials policy and allowing the link with a warning and significant reduction of spread. Former VP Global Comms Brandon Borman asked, can we truthfully claim that this is part of the policy? As part of our approach to addressing potentially hacked materials, we are limiting visibility of related stories on Twitter while our investigation is ongoing. To which former Deputy General Counsel Jim Baker again seems to advise staying the course, the non-course rather, because caution is warranted. I support the conclusion that we need more facts to assess whether the materials were hacked. At this stage, however, it is reasonable to assume that they may have been, and that caution is warranted. There are some facts that indicate the materials may have been hacked, while others indicate the computer was either abandoned or the owner consented to allow the repair shop to access it for at least some purposes. We simply need more information. A fundamental problem with tech companies and content moderation. Many people in charge of speech know, care little about speech, and have to be told the basics by outsiders. In one humongous exchange on day one, Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna reaches out to Gotti to gently suggest she hop on the phone to talk about the backlash re-speech. Khanna was the only Democratic official I could find in the files who expressed concern. Generating huge backlash on Hill re-speech. Happy to chat if you're up for it. Gotti replies quickly, immediately diving into the weeds of Twitter policy, unaware Khanna is more worried about the Bill of Rights. Hi, Congressman Khanna. Thank you for reaching out. We appreciate the heads up. We put out a clarifying thread of tweets earlier this evening to explain our policy around posting of private information and linking directly to hacked materials. The press's security account was not permanently suspended. We requested that she delete the tweet containing material that is in violation of our rules, and her account is restricted until she complies. I'd be happy to jump on the phone if helpful. My team is in D.C., are copied here, and also available to discuss. Khanna tries to reroute the conversation to the First Amendment, mention of which is generally hard to find in the files. It says, but this seems a violation of the First Amendment principles. If there is a hack of classified information or other information that could expose a serious war crime and the New York Times was to publish it, I think the New York Times should have that right. I agree. A journalist should not be held accountable for the illegal actions of the source unless they actively aided the hack. So to restrict the distribution of that material, especially regarding a presidential candidate, remember he was still a candidate at the time, seems not in keeping of the principles of the NYT versus Sullivan. I say this as a total Biden partisan and convinced he didn't do anything wrong. But the story now has become more about censorship than relatively innocuous emails, and it's become a bigger deal than it would have been. It is also leading to serious efforts to curtail Section 230. Many of which would have been a mistake. I believe Twitter itself should curtail what it remends or puts in trending news, and your policy against QAnon groups is all good. It's a hard balance. But in the heat of a presidential campaign, restricting dissemination of newspaper articles, even if New York Post is far right, seems like it will invite more backlash than it will do good. Please keep this communication between just us and Jack, and no need to CC the team or forward to them. Just wanted to offer my 2 cents. Within a day, head of public policy Lauren Culbertson receives a ghastly letter report from Carl Sabo of the research firm NetChoice, which had already polled 12 members of Congress, 9 Republicans and 3 Democrats, from the House Judiciary Committee to Representative or rather Republican Judy Chu's office. Lauren, yesterday, net choice Chris Marchese met informally with 9 Republican and 3 Democratic House staffers to gather intel about Facebook and Twitter in the New York Post story. The staffers hail from the House Judiciary Committee to Representative Judy Chu's office. Wow. That is insane. So, yeah, they were doing everything in the world. Everything in the world. It says, it's been a whirlwind 96 hours for me, too. There's much more to come, including answers to questions about issues like shadow banning, boosting, follower accounts, the fate of various individual accounts, and more. These issues are not limited to the political right. Wow. Looking forward to going through all the tweets complaining about PR for the richest man on earth and seeing how many of them have run stories for anonymous sources at the FBI, CIA, Pentagon, White House, etc. Wow! This is... You know what this is? Government collusion. What? It's the government is colluding with a social network. But I thought they weren't allowed to do that.
Wouldn't that make Twitter a state actor as well?
Yes. That makes Facebook, because if Twitter's doing it, Facebook's doing it. They're all doing it. It's always been the government. You know that meme with the astronaut? It's always been
always
a government.
Has been.
Yeah, always has been a state actor. But you know what? Now we're being proven right. Just like Prism and Snowden. Snowden found out, yep, Prism exists. They're watching you. Now, hey, all your social media. Totally government, man. It's totally the government. Like that crazy guy that would whisper in your ear, it's the government, man. It's totally the government. Government's watching you. The government is watching you. Big Brother is here. Always has been. But if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about, right?
Okay.
Oh, man. It's incredible. It's just incredible, guys. We're seeing this just laid out right before us. With Kanye, all the stuff that he's going on, the Twitter files, everything. I don't know what's going to happen next. It's December. You know, December is supposed to be a time of goodwill to men and spreading cheer. But guess what? Nope. We get crazy shit all over the board. Clown World did not take a break in December. It didn't take a break in December. Things didn't calm down. Things are getting crazier. We're going to have a crazy Christmas this year. Man. Well, I mean, we are having the first Christmas where we have, what, violent Christmas movies. We've got Violent Night, and then we have the Grinch movie where he kills people.
The Grinch is public domain?
I don't know. But, oh no, they can't call him the Grinch. They have him look the same, and they call him something else.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense, then.
Okay, so... So they're letting me pick my skill. If you guys want me to stream this, I can. It's interesting if you've never played. This is unlike... I have not played a Pokemon game since Gold and Silver. So I don't know how much customization you had. But this game literally lets you customize shit to the highest level. So I don't know... I don't know exactly. Who was that?
No idea.
Somebody left. I don't know who that was. I was just trying to see.
Not sure.
Feds. They're what? They're listening. They're listening. No. Feds. It's like, we know, Grim. We know what you're doing. And we don't like it. Let's see. But no, I mean, I've studied this stuff for so long, and I see it all happening, and I'm being proven right. And I remember what Alex Jones said. I didn't want to be right. He literally said in one of his shows, he said, they're proving you right. Alex Jones is being proven right once again. And he says, but I didn't want to be proven right. He said, Alex Jones is right. Yeah, he is. And Doomcock was proven right, too. Because everything that Doomcock said about the new Indiana Jones, it's happening. Keep in mind, Indiana Jones, guys, is not going to be... I mean, it looked like an action movie. But basically, they're going to have that Phoebe Waller chick. She's like 37. They're going to have her play the new Indiana Jones. And basically, she's going to lecture... Now, she's a white woman, so it's weird to see this. But she's going to lecture him on his male... No, she's going to lecture him on his... Oh, not white privilege. She's going to lecture him on his male privilege the whole time. That's what Doomcock has said. And by the way, they've done 5 test screenings of that movie. And nobody likes the ending. Nobody likes the ending.
Wow.
They couldn't find anybody that liked that movie. So...
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. The Dial of Doom is pretty much... They just call it the Dial of Doom because that's literally what they're doing. They're destroying... Oh! Indy gets trapped in a time warp. Oh, sorry, Indy. That's what happens. Literally. Indy gets trapped in a fucking time warp. It's over. That's how they kill off Harrison Ford. He doesn't die, he just doesn't come back. And there's nobody left to take the mantle but the Phoebe Waller chick. She's like, okay, well, I'll be the new Indiana Jones. Like, Indiana Jones is not a goddamn title. It's not 007. You can't just fucking give a person... Oh, you're Indiana Jones now. Indy is Indy! You know...
It's... Anything, shouldn't the torch be passed to his son? Or are they just pretending Crazy with a Crystal Skull didn't exist?
I think they retconned it. It feels like they retconned it. Because it was a different time when Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out. Coronet, what the hell? Coronet name? Oh shit, I think it wants to put me online. Oh, apparently you can play this game online? Failing to connect to Coronet. I didn't know there was an online server for this game. What does it have in it? It doesn't even say anything on the website. Oh, I have to have Coromon. This basically lets you fight Coromon against other people online. There is over 100 Coromon. And so it's like regular Pokemon. There's not a bajillion of them. Yeah. And they looked cool. There was some cool looking ones. So, they definitely look like Pokemon, but again, and I've been told the story is better than a lot of the Pokemon games. Yeah. They were saying that the story's done better than most of the Pokemon games, so I'm like, damn. But yeah, oh my god. Just reeling at all the crazy crap that's going on right now. Oh, they're fighting them. I'll become the best battle researcher ever. Okay. And this doesn't look like RPG Maker. It looks like, you know, an actual game. So let's see. I went to the store. I don't know how to get a Coromon. They won't let me leave town without one. I guess I'm supposed to go get one from the Coromon lab. I don't know. This is hard.
I was about to say, is there a lab? Go talk to your mom, too.
Okay. Gathered so much skills. Let's recall PC. I'm not getting anything. I guess you have to do that. I don't know. I've never played this game, but it's fun. So far. This will be the first Pokemon-style game I've played in a long time. I remember when I first got Fire... Not Fire Red, but the original Red. I was happy. And then we didn't get Yellow for the longest time. And everybody wanted Yellow because that's the one that was in the cartoon. Anime, rather. But it was still kind of a cartoon to us. Anime hadn't really caught on so much back then. Let's see. Well, I can't leave. I guess that's to go to other areas. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty much all we have to talk about as far as those things go. I don't think I really want to bother you guys watching online, not you guys, but the guys that'll watch this video with any other banter or whatever. But we'll see you guys next time when I've got more topics and obviously the Kanye and the Balenciaga, the Balenciaga, all that crap. That's a pretty big deal. And I'm getting a little bit hammered, so let's not go too far into this where I go into drunk territory. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I am... Hold on. Anybody got anything they want to say before I go?
Stay out of Cook County Jail. The purge hasn't started yet.
Okay. All right. We'll see you next time on Grimm's Late Night Open Mic.